Anytime you can come back and start a segment with Van Halen, we're in a good spot, Denton. Good job. Mitch Tischler is part of J.P. Finley's Beltway Football Pod. He does work with Monumental Sports Network. I love having Mitch on when we get a chance to have Mitch on. I had Mitch on recently on the podcast, and here we are 2 weeks into the season, Mitch, at Mitch underscore Tischler, by the way, on X on Twitter. So what are your big takeaways from the first two games? How good do you feel about this team, or how bad do you feel about this team?
Well, I wanted to start with you had the right Van Halen with the right lead singer coming in, which is
yes,
important.
I did. David Lee Roth over Sammy Hagar any day of the week. True.
Every day of the week and twice on Sunday, especially when we're talking football. I'm excited about what we've seen so far. I mean, listen, I think that if anyone was being realistic about where this roster was and where this team was, you're not talking about a team that's necessarily competing to win the NFC East or competing to, you know, win the NFC, you know, win multiple playoff games. It's about Jaden Daniels' development. And through 2 weeks in the season, I think you have to be excited about what we've seen from him, both in the pocket and out. I mean, obviously, you need him to protect himself a little bit more when he's running the ball. But that two-minute drill on Sunday to go down the field and win the game is incredible building blocks for the kid. And for the offense to run a 425 yards, to not punt, to get in the red zone six times, of course he wants to finish and score touchdowns. And I think that development will come. When you're in the red zone, things get sped up, and I think he's still developing and learning there. But let's be honest, they didn't punt one time, and they racked up 400-plus total yards, and you got to feel good about that.
No doubt. When you don't punt without a turn, when you don't turn the ball over and you don't punt in a game, it's hard to really knock anybody offensively. Of course, you can pick apart the red zone stuff and the penalties. But you said something, and by the way, you're not the only one that feels this way, so let me say that up front. But I'm wondering why there's this default through 2 weeks of, look, this season, and I believe the season's about Jaden Daniels more than anything else, but I also believe the season is in play. And I think a lot of people, including many fans, don't think that this season is anything but a building block season. It's the NFL. Tampa, Minnesota, New Orleans, and Seattle are undefeated through 2 weeks. We've had the biggest underdogs on the board in weeks one and two lose outright at home in the first 2 weeks. Are we being too premature in kind of burying this season and listing it or describing it as just a building block season?
I don't think so, because to me, you enter with realistic expectations. And I think you can look at the Texans last year. They didn't go in thinking that they were going to turn the team around in one season the way that they did, but they got the right quarterback, and ipso facto, they made the playoffs, and all of a sudden they're turning into a, you know, a world beater over there in the AFC. There's a chance that Jaden Daniels can be that guy, but like you said, we're only 2 weeks into the season, and if you look at the way that Adam Peters and Dan Quinn built this roster, you can tell that they didn't go out and spend big money this offseason. They didn't go after any of the big impact players that potentially would have been out there that they could have signed, that they could have paid a lot of money to. They're looking at this as a long-term build, and listen, we had 25 years of terrible ownership and leadership where they would go out and, you know, try and break the bank and win the offseason and do all these different things. It's a breath of fresh air to approach this in a realistic way and in a long-term look. Now, that doesn't mean that if your quarterback turns out to be, you know, the next Patrick Mahomes, the next C.J. Stroud, you know, the next Josh Allen, whoever he may be, you know, that accelerates the timeline. But I think for right now, it's a good way of looking at the building of this team and hoping that Jaden Daniels continues this ascent and continues playing well and proving that he's the guy. And if he is, you know, the sky's the limit for any team with a star quarterback.
Yeah, I hear you on the roster there, and I hear you on the approach in the offseason. All of those things are true. But when you get into a season, put it this way, Mitch, if they were to go into Cincinnati Monday night and win, I think the perspective would change quickly as to what this season has in store potentially. I think the building block season, 7-10 would be just fine as long as Jaden's great. And by the way, that would be a good result to the season if we find out that they got the quarterback right. But this league is really strange, man. Things happen. With that said, I'm not so confident in what I am proposing that we at least be open-minded about after 2 weeks, because the defense has been just alarmingly awful. I wasn't expecting it. Were you?
I was not expecting the secondary to be particularly good, but I thought that the pressure up front and kind of the creativeness that Joe Witt Jr. And Dan Quinn approach a defensive style with could help maybe mask some of those issues. But the issues to me start up front. And the fact that, you know, you're not getting pressure from two of your top three highest paid players, they're not able to get to the quarterback, they're not able to be disruptive in the run game, is a big issue. And that's allowing teams, the fact that also your defensive ends aren't able to get to the quarterback, are allowing teams to double Daron Payne and John Allen there in the middle. And the secondary issues are real. If this coaching staff went into the season thinking that, you know, Emmanuel Forbes and Benjamin St. Juice were going to be, you know, a lockdown answer and they were going to be equal to some of the guys that they had in Dallas, I think that's a little bit short-sighted. So I expected that this defense was going to struggle. I'm surprised with the way that they're struggling.
Yeah, I thought, like you did, that certainly corner was an issue and who was going to be the pass rusher on this team. But I guess I was kind of leaning on, they've got Dan Quinn, they've got Joe Witt, they've added, you know, they've essentially changed the defense personnel-wise by two-thirds in terms of the contributors. And last year was really kind of sabotaged and doomed before it started, and I just was expecting something different. And it's early. We might still get something different. All right, let's go back to the offensive side of the ball. When we get to the end of these 17 weeks, and you sound like you're bullish so far on Jaden Daniels, as am I, what are we going to say about this team offensively? Were they a versatile, multi, you know, dimensional team, pass to run? Were they run heavy? Did they rely on, you know, quick game too much? What do you see in terms of how this will play out offensively for the season?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think when you look at Dan Quinn as a head coach, you're hoping that he evolved from his time when he was in Atlanta, the same way that you're hoping that Cliff Kingsbury has evolved since his time in Arizona, because those Arizona offenses were too reliant on quick game and were too reliant around balls around the line of scrimmage and getting the ball out quickly. And certainly that's something that you want to do early on with your rookie quarterback, but you want to see the offense continue to build. And, you know, as we look at some of these, you know, little quick screens to the wide receivers, you also see, you know, their lead blocker kind of faking the block and going downfield and maybe looking for some deep shots there. If this offense doesn't continue to evolve and start looking a little bit further downfield and stretching the field vertically a little bit more, you're going to become too predictable, and you're going to have too many people in the box to be comfortable running the ball. You're going to have too many people around the line of scrimmage to be comfortable throwing those short passes. So I think it's, you know, as much as we talk about it being about Jaden kind of learning and understanding what he needs to do, I think it's also about seeing and hoping that Cliff Kingsbury is able to, you know, evolve from where he was in Arizona. And ultimately, having Brian Robinson and Austin Ekeler both in the run and the pass game, I think will go a long way, because those two have been a pretty dynamic duo through 2 weeks, and I'm impressed with the way that B-Rob has run. And for Ekeler, the way that he's worked in pass pro, as well as kind of those middle screens that I think two straight weeks now he's had third and long conversions on those. So at the end of the season, I'm hoping that we can talk about the evolution of this offense and how we've seen it grow from week 1 to week 17. And then as you start looking towards years in the future, other ways in which it can grow and keep evolving and keep expanding downfield.
You know, one of the things that I think everybody talked about heading into this season was, in terms of potential weaknesses, was the offensive line. How do you think it's performed in the first two games?
I think, to me, I've been breaking up the offensive line between the interior guys and the outside guys, and I've liked a lot what I've seen from the interior. The false start penalties from last week are unacceptable and need to be changed, need to be fixed. You can't continue to have that. But I do think part of that comes from having a rookie quarterback and getting the cadence consistently correct, as well as the guys kind of understanding how Jaden is going to make the calls at the line of scrimmage.
Right.
But they also ran for 200-plus yards, and B-Rob ran for 6 yards a carry last week. So you can't really crush the offensive line too much. To me, I think the issue is going to be right tackle, or has been right tackle and will continue to be. It's not that these guys are getting beat particularly often. The problem is with Andrew Wiley in particular, that when he does get beat, he gets beat so clean,
badly,
and so quick to the quarterback,
yeah,
that he gives Jaden Daniels no chance. And I like what Cliff has done, because a lot of times you see Eckler or one of the tight ends kind of lined up next to Wiley, helping him out. As a tackle, when you have help on the outside, your one job is to not get beat on the inside. And in week one against the Bucks, it happened on at least two occasions, maybe three. And last week against the Giants, we saw it as well. So I think that's something that needs to change. And I think as they become more comfortable with Brandon Coleman on the left side, and Brandon Coleman understands the NFL game a little bit better, we might see Cornelius Lucas start working in a little on the right side as well. But again, I think, you know, these are kind of the steps that this team can take to improve on the offensive line and as a whole.
Mitch Tischler joining us here, courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline. So other than Terry and right now maybe Zach Ertz, is there anybody in the pass-catching group that you think is about to emerge? And I know what Terry's numbers are. We've talked ad nauseum about them this week. but still relying on Terry to be their number one wideout threat. Who comes next?
Well, it's funny because week one, everyone was complaining that Terry didn't get the ball, and I was loud amongst them that Terry didn't get the ball until 3 minutes left in the third quarter. And now, you know, week two against the Giants, he gets four catches for 8 yards at one point or something like that.
Yeah,
I'm hoping Noah Brown is that guy that emerges. I think Eckler has been an important part of this pass game because he's so good in pass pro, and then also has the wiggle and the speed and the strength to make big plays there. But Noah Brown is the guy that I'm keeping my eye on. Obviously, he and Jaden have a little bit of a connection. We saw it, you know, with the three catches for almost 60 yards last week. And ultimately, if they're able to have a number two receiver kind of emerge and even be a reliable target, that will only help out Terry. Because right now on the outside, you saw it in Tampa. We saw it against the Giants. Teams are rolling coverage over to Terry because there's no other threat on the field to go deep at all. And if Noah Brown can continue to find himself open and, you know, use his good hands and his body to make these catches and be a consistent target, that's going to help out this offense a lot.
Whose performance in the first 2 weeks do you think has been underrated?
I don't know how much you guys have talked about Benjamin St. Juice last week against the Giants, but, you know, he deserved a fair amount of criticism for a couple plays against Tampa, but he also almost had that great diving interception against them as well.
Right.
Against the Giants, you know, Malik Nabers' production went down when they started kind of moving BSJ around with him a little bit, and he was able to punch the ball out and get a turnover. The corners are an issue. There's no question. And Benjamin St. Juice certainly has his faults. But he's, as far as this Dan Quinn, Joe Witt defense goes, he's done pretty much what they've asked of him. Even when you look back at their years in Dallas and all the gaudy interception numbers, those guys also gave up a lot of yards because they asked their corners to cover one-on-one in press coverage, you know, with little safety help quite often. And that's a lot to ask of a corner, especially guys like Emmanuel Forbes and Benjamin St. Juice, who haven't particularly proven that they are good at that role. So the fact that we've seen kind of some growth from him and, you know, a couple nice plays, I think speaks well, and hopefully he can continue ascending.
I don't know the answer to this. It just seems to me in the first two games they've played a lot more man than zone. Do you know if that's true?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's what Joe Witt and Dan Quinn want to do. Is we saw it in training camp. We saw it, you know, when the Commanders were playing the Cowboys, you know, the past couple of years. They like to put those corners in press coverage. I mean, think back to a couple of years ago with Terry McLaurin against Trayvon Diggs. I think it was a game at FedEx Field. Terry had, you know, four catches for 100 yards and two touchdowns or something, and he kind of burned Trayvon up and down the field. And, you know, the next couple times they played, Diggs got the best of them. But those corners in the old Cowboys in this defense that they're playing in now are going to give up some big plays. The coaching staff is okay with giving up big plays if they can make some big plays as well and get some turnovers. So I think we're going to see them continue to play a lot of man, continue to play single high safety, continue to try and find a way to bring pressure to the quarterback. And it's going to be incumbent on the guys that are out there to step up and make get interceptions, make big plays, get turnovers when they can.
If I told you that they either won Monday night or they were very close to winning on Monday night, how did it happen?
They ran the snot out of the football and kept the ball out of Joe Burrow's hands. I mean, listen, Joe Burrow has not been particularly – he hasn't been the Joe Burrow that we think of when we think of him. And, you know, there are other issues going on behind the scenes in Cincinnati with contracts and all those different things that are happening. I'm not predicting that they go out and win, but I don't know that I'd be entirely shocked if they did. The Bengals have been poor in the month of September the past couple of years. They've been a team that has continued to grow, but man, I don't know how they're going to stop this passing offense. I don't know how they're going to slow down that Bengals team.
Yeah, if there's a chance too, T. Higgins, right? Denton is back for Monday night.
Yeah, I mean, across the board, they have weapons, and forget the receivers and who everyone knows. They also have a pair of running backs who do a pretty good job of catching the ball out of the backfield. And as we know in Washington, linebacker play has been an issue. Hopefully, this Frankie Louvu and Bobby Wagner duo is able to slow those guys down a little bit. But there's a lot to be nervous about when the defense is on the field come Monday night.
Great job. Appreciate it. Hope you're well. Talk soon.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, Mitch Tischler, everybody. Denton will have his news when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, The Team 980, theteam980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.